Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Please be seated. On the night of his betrayal, Jesus said to his disciples, "But now I am going to him who sent me, and none of you asks me, 'Where are you going?' But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. But the world is hardly impressed by these words." No, the world doesn't care. The world dismisses what Jesus has to say about the Helper, the Holy Spirit, because the world thinks that it knows all of this already. The world thinks that it already is quite clear on the matters of sin and righteousness and judgment. And so the world thinks that for the divine Spirit of truth to convict concerning these things is redundant, irrelevant, not sufficient works for a divine being. That's perhaps why so many churches seek out new, innovative, exciting, dramatic works to ascribe to the Holy Spirit, convicting of sin and righteousness and judgment. We've got that down already. So perhaps the work of the Spirit is something greater, more dazzling, more exciting, speaking in unintelligible tongues, shaking, laughing, falling, dancing, shouting, healings and signs accomplished only by the great faith of the individual. Maybe moral perfection in life, sinlessness in thoughts, words, and deeds, prophecies of the future, numerical growth in church membership, ecstatic emotional experiences in worship. Yes, the work of the Spirit must be anything, everything, other than what Jesus himself says the work of the Holy Spirit is. To take what is his and to declare it to his disciples, and to convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Again, the world assumes it already knows about sin and righteousness and judgment. After all, sin is already rebuked and condemned in the world already. That's what government is established for. That's why God has written his law in our hearts. And so we know that things like cheating on your spouse, murder in cold blood, theft, abuse, greed, pride, etc., that these are wrong. No, even unbelievers, atheists, agnostics, Muslims, Jews, Buddhists, Hindus, all the rest, they forbid, they punish these sins. Who needs a Spirit of truth to convict concerning sin? And as for righteousness, well, in the world, according to our human reason, righteousness means to obey the laws that we all know by nature, the rules that have been laid down by governments, employers, parents, teachers, and more. Again, the world knows this. This is why God has established the civil realm. We know already that those who obey such laws and rules are righteous. And judgment, well, the world knows judgment very well. Judgment is leveled regarding all matters of life and property, country and people, etc. Judgment, it seems, is a matter of external works, so we need no Holy Spirit, it seems. We already know about what he's going to talk about. We know about sin and righteousness and judgment. We don't need the things that he would take from Christ and give to us. And insofar as you are in the world, insofar as you retain the old Adam, you know these things. You know the sins that the world knows, the sins of other people. You take it upon yourself to judge the thoughts, words, and deeds of all those around you, interpreting every misspoken word or mistaken action as a personal slight against your very honor. digging up dirt, exposing skeletons in the closets, explaining everything that happens around you in the least kindest way, and then taking that unkind explanation and sharing it with others. You also know well what the world knows about righteousness that is your own, taking great pains to broadcast your own good qualities and accomplishments, wanting no good deed of yours to go unrecognized, making sure to get credit when you do things well, but pouting when somebody fails to give you the proper thanks or recognition. Always keen to let everyone know what kind of person you are, a good person, far better than the rest. And you know judgment, as the world knows judgment, the judgment of good and evil according to your own standards, which tends to mean lauding and boasting of your good and righteous deeds, while justifying and excusing every error and fault that you have made, and doing the opposite for others. When they prosper or have success, coming up with reasons why it must have happened, while quickly identifying any kind of sorrow or suffering as well deserved because of their faults. But hear this. If the Spirit of truth sent by the Son of God following his departure comes and convicts the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment in this way, according to the world's understanding, according to the understanding of the old Adam, the sinful nature, then the Spirit is truly no helper or comforter, but quite the opposite. He's a stumbling block. He's an accuser. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. No one is righteous, no, not one. All who have sinned under the law will be judged by the law. If the Spirit has come simply to convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment, like the world, like sinners do, then we find no help or comfort in him at all. For we are all sinners. We have all failed to keep God's law and be righteous in our works. We all deserve his temporal and eternal judgment. But thanks be to God, the Holy Spirit is not this sort of convictor. Rather, he convicts the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment in a divine way, in a way according to the gospel. Jesus says he convicts concerning sin because they do not believe in me, concerning righteousness because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer, concerning judgment because the ruler of this world is judged, concerning sin because they do not believe in me, says Jesus. What kind of sin is it that Christ speaks of with these words, because they do not believe in me? It is unbelief. It is the rejection of Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God and Savior of the world. It is true that evil actions, stealing, adultery, murder, other sins that are public and recognized by the world are convicted by the Ten Commandments. They are convicted by civil laws. Spirit convicts of unbelief, the root of all sin, for everything that proceeds from unbelief, no matter how good and righteous the deeds may appear to be in the world's eyes, are sin. It's for this reason that every explanation in the Ten Commandments begins, we should fear and love God so that when we sin, we fail to fear and love God above all things. When we sin, we deny the one true God. Unbelief is that sin that is convicted in the same way in everybody, the sin of the whole world, the sin of being without Christ, without faith in him. And with this word, this conviction of sin, the conviction of unbelief, we all stand condemned. No one can boast of his piety. No one can boast of his good works. No one can boast of a saintly life. All boasting is useless. All deeds, all actions are worth nothing before the Almighty God, who convicts us concerning our sin of unbelief. But then Jesus says, the Spirit convicts concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. Now how do these words of Christ, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer, agree with righteousness? Again, Jesus is not speaking of actions, the righteous actions that we might do. These good works are already commended in the Ten Commandments and in society. No, the Spirit convicts us of Jesus' righteousness, a righteousness that is set before God the Father, a righteousness that is far different from that righteousness that the world seeks, the righteousness that Jesus exalts far above all works that can be done in this life. Is the righteousness that he identifies with himself. And it is this righteousness of which the Spirit convicts. How can we ever attain to this righteousness? Jesus answers, my going to the Father is your righteousness. My going before the Father is the righteousness of which the Spirit delivers to you. There is no other righteousness by which we may ever stand before God. There's no other righteousness by which we may be considered righteous. There's no other righteousness by which we may obtain forgiveness of sins and eternal life than this righteousness that is Christ's going to the Father. And this is nothing other than his bearing our sins, his crucifixion, his death, and his burial on account of them, and the fact that our Lord Jesus Christ did not remain in death, but passed through death out of the grave into life and life unending. Death no longer has dominion over him. Christ is risen indeed. He is ascended indeed. And now he rules and reigns with power and authority over all creation at the right hand of the Father. As he came down from heaven for us men and for our salvation, so also he has ascended into heaven for us after conquering sin and death. To be sure, this is a strange sort of righteousness. In the world's eyes, the world knows nothing about being counted as righteousness, counted as righteous or possessing a righteousness that is really no work, no thought, nothing at all in you, but entirely outside of you in Christ. But it truly is yours. It truly does count to you by God's grace, by God's gift. It becomes your very own through faith in Jesus. Yes, by grace, through faith in him, this righteousness is counted as you as if you yourself had achieved and earned it. This righteousness, of course, utterly excludes your works and efforts. It consists solely of Christ's going to the Father. Again, his suffering, death, resurrection, and ascension. What did you do to contribute to any of this? It certainly wasn't on account of your obedience or good works. As we sing in the great hymn, was it because of your own merit that Christ Jesus died your soul to win? No, it was grace and grace alone that brought him down from his heavenly throne. It was not your obedience. It was not your good works. It was only Christ, his person, his work, his perfect active and passive obedience for you. This, then, is how the Holy Spirit proves to be your helper and comforter, by bringing you no other consolation, no other help and comfort than this. Christ has gone to the Father for you. This, dear Christian, is your chief possession and inheritance, your ultimate trust, and your life and salvation. But finally, Jesus says, the Spirit convicts concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Again, the Spirit renders no worldly judgment, but rather judgment leveled against the one who would judge you, the devil, Satan. His name means accuser. And this is what he does. He accuses you of your transgressions, seeking to lead you into false belief and despair. He demands judgment against your transgression. But judgment is precisely what he gets. Judgment against himself. Yes, the devil would accuse you of your sins and transgressions. He would have God judge you for eternity in hell for your rebellion against him. But the Holy Spirit is truly your helper and comforter indeed. He helps you by testifying of what Christ has done for you. He helps you by testifying of your faith in God. He testifies that the righteousness of Jesus Christ is counted as yours now by grace. And he comforts you. He comforts you by taking all that Jesus has and delivering it over to you. He does not speak of his own, as Jesus says, but as he proceeds from the Father and the Son, so he delivers to you what the Father and the Son have declared. Their testimony is one. For Jesus' sake, you are righteous. You are forgiven. You are a child of God. As the Apostle Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. And so whatever evidence Satan might bring against you and against your sins is false testimony. For he would have you accused of your sins, sins that have already been paid for and drowned in the blood of Jesus, shed for you in his crucifixion. For this reason we proclaim Jesus Christ and him crucified. For in him we find life, salvation, help, and comfort delivered to us by the Spirit. And the devil stands judged. He will face eternity in hell in the lake of fire forever. But you, however, by grace, have been judged forgiven. Atonement has been made for you. And therefore you have a place prepared for you even now with your Lord Jesus in heaven. For where he is, there you shall be also. According to Jesus' own words, he sends the Helper, the Holy Spirit, to convict the world of these three things: the sin of unbelief, the righteousness of Christ that is received by faith alone and delivered by grace alone, and the judgment of the devil, the ruler of this world, who would accuse you of your sins. Yes, the Spirit convicts of these things. The world dismisses them, thinking that it knows all these things already. But again, the world has no idea. The Spirit's conviction is truly heavenly and divine. For he convicts on the basis of grace and mercy. For this reason, Jesus says that he must depart in order to give the Spirit of truth. Because the Spirit can only convict in this gracious and merciful way on the foundation of Jesus' cross and empty tomb. It is indeed to your advantage that Jesus went away into death, the grave, his resurrection and ascension. For by his death and resurrection, we claim a merciful and gracious God, who does not condemn us according to our sins, but instead calls us to repent and believe in him. We have a gracious God, who does not bar the doors of heaven to us because of our unrighteousness, but instead opens these doors to us for the sake of Jesus' righteousness, which is given to us freely as a gift by grace. We have a loving God who does not judge us according to what our sinful actions, thoughts, and words deserve, but instead judges the one who accuses and oppresses us, the evil one. The world scoffs at the conviction of the Holy Spirit, the Helper. But the world is wrong. Spirit of truth, he is the Helper sent by Jesus Christ. He is truly your comforter, and he has called you by the gospel. He enlightens you with the gifts you receive here in this place, his word and sacrament. And through these same gifts, he calls you to himself with open and loving arms. Therefore, dear Christians, do not be sorrowful. Do not be afraid. Your God is gracious and merciful. He loves you. For this reason, he went into death for you. For this reason, he is risen indeed. And by grace through faith, you too shall rise and dwell with him in perfect righteousness, innocence, and blessedness forevermore. Alleluia, Christ is risen. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.